Okay, I want to go to a familiar text, to many anyway. It comes from Proverbs. And many a Christian loves Proverbs. And I think this text is one reason why. There's a lot to like. So I'm going to go to Proverbs chapter 3 and read the first 7 verses of chapter 3. That'll be it. It's a very rich, rich book, Proverbs. Very wise book, of course. The wisdom of Solomon. Pretty sure about that. Was considered the wisest man in all the world, so he knew these proverbs and many more. And many of them were floating around in the culture at the time and even before that. But this was compiled by him, the wise Solomon. Of course, ultimately, as you know, dear brothers and sisters, this was written by the Holy Spirit through the prophets and apostles. So let's now hear God's word from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. May God bless his word. Once again, we do pray that you would bless your word to our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We ask this, Lord, Heavenly Father, and we receive this word well because we already know it, we've already heard it, and we're already applying it to some extent. May we do so some more, even through the hearing of it. And we do pray your blessing upon the reading of the word and now upon the preaching of the word. And even prepare us for the receiving, the word, the receiving of your sacrament. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It said that these two verses 5 and 6, are favorites of many. And I must admit that I'm partial to a number of scriptures and verses in the Bible, these being among my favorites. I should begin with saying that when we're told here in verse 5, that lean not unto thine own understanding, it does not mean or imply that we switch off reason or reasoning, which some imagine doing. First off, you can't do that, switch off your thinking process, your reasoning ability, your rationale, unless you're mad or insane. You're not going to be able to do that completely. Reasoning is so much a part of human nature as the human will is, or as consciousness is. Reason is such a part of human nature that we think it is the distinguishing characteristics between us and all the rest of the animal kingdom. Nevertheless, we know that there are intelligent animals, included in this knowledge, this knowing, is man's best friend, the dog. Pigs may be even more intelligent than dogs. Primates are intelligent, elephants are intelligent, dolphins are intelligent, and so on. These animals can reason. However, compared to us, their reasoning prowess are minute. Man is given the gift of reason in splendid measure. God is not instructing us to abandon reason or rationality and instead get more in touch with feelings, right? That's the mood of the day, right? That's what a lot of people like to do, even Christians including, some say it's feelings that ought to matter most. Our feelings, right? How we feel, how we identify ourselves and identify with others. To be sure, feelings matter, but when determining truth and understanding, they may not be so very helpful much of the time. What he is addressing is our faith, more particularly trust in verse 5. And the idea of biblical faith is not as the Danish philosopher considers himself a Christian, Søren Kierkegaard, suggested as a leap, a blind leap forward. He termed it a leap of faith. He affirmed the importance of, and this is what he did affirm and say, affirmed the importance of individual experience and choice, and believed that one could know God only through a leap of faith and not through doctrine. And this is sort of the beginnings of existential philosophy. Existentialism, that's just another word for subjectivism. Kierkegaard argued, for example, that when God ordered Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, he obeyed, taking a blind leap of faith against all reason and logic, having been told prior to that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. God promised that the seed would expand through Isaac. It made no sense that God should later call upon Abraham to sacrifice his only son, according to Kierkegaard. Perhaps, however, he did not pay much attention to, he certainly knew it, but he probably didn't pay much attention to Hebrews 11, for example, in verses 17 to 19, talking about Abraham here. The apostle writes, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Yeah. So, right there. But then verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So, Abraham reasoned that if necessary, God would or could raise the dead. So we see then that faith and trust in God is not irrational, but reasonable. When dealing with an all-knowing, all-powerful God, capable of performing miracle when necessary to accomplish his end of working things together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. It is true that we cannot know how and when all things will come together in our favor, but we are called upon to trust the one who does know. Truth is objective. However, God's truth becomes subjective in us through faith and the operation of the Spirit working within. So the faith, like the truth, is both objective and subjective, both doctrinal and experiential. Both these things. In fact, we got out of Romans just a little while ago. The first part of Romans, actually, Romans 1 through 11, was doctrinal, and then after that, it was from 12 to the end of Romans, it's practical. It's experience, it becomes subjective and practical. God is therefore not instructing us to shed all reason, but instead to shape our trust. Instead of having irrational trust, blind faith, we are to advance with a reasonable faith, as Bovink termed it. Herman Bovink. Our problem began when Adam and Eve decided to lean upon their own understanding rather than upon trusting God's word. It all began there, right? God said to the man and woman, you shall eat the fruit of every tree in the garden. Positively, he said, but negatively, save one. If you eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. The devil intimated that God was lying. That God was lying, for he does not want you determining for yourself what is good and what is evil, what is right and what is wrong. His jealousy, God's jealousy, is prevailing upon you. He does not wish you to be like him. God's in your own right. And so they bit into the fruit, and the dominoes began to fall one by one by one by one back to the dust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not upon thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Follow the leader. He knows the way to go. He knows all our ways that will be involved with in the narrow path. Dear people, be reasonable with your faith. Trust in the one that knows the way and the path that leads heavenward in Christ Jesus. Dear people, be reasonable with your faith. Trust in Jesus Christ, not in self, not in others, not in the things that money can buy. Trust in his holy word. Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, say this: it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Is there an exception? Is there an exception? I don't think so. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. We know our princes. You don't want to put confidence in them too much. A little bit, but not much. Pastor Daniel Holstage reminds us Adam and Eve turned against God and began to trust in themselves. After they fell into sin, all of us have come into this world with a natural tendency to do the same, to lean upon our own understanding, to trust in our own ability, to figure out things and make decisions that, should make us happy and successful. We're all like that. That's in our nature. It's in our genes, our DNA, as they say. But, dear people, it's not wise to do, right? The Bible gives us the opposite point of view. Do not lean on your own understanding, but trust God. This obviously does not mean to just sit back and reflex and do nothing, but rather to think above all else in a spiritual way. Think above all else spiritually. Trusting in God is a deeply spiritual activity, one that the world knows nothing about. But you and I know everything. I just want to quote now Reverend Holstead's remarks here. He says, trusting, we tend to put our trust in the persons and things we can see, like a paycheck, insurance, doctors, government, technology, and such. But the secret to true peace of mind is something that goes against our nature. Trust with all your heart in one whom you cannot see. Lean on the one who created the whole universe and holds the whole world in his hands. That does not mean we stop working, cancel our insurance, avoid the doctor, and just wait for God to drop everything into our lap. No. What it means is that while we work hard, buy insurance, go to the doctor, get good exercise, take our medicine. We put our trust in God, knowing that He can take away all of our stuff and our health in the blink of an eye, if He wants to. Or prosper our work and give us all that we need. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We are tempted to trust partly in God and partly in ourselves. But we need to trust in God with wholehearted faith. We must trust in God with wholehearted faith, he said. The faith to which Reverend Holstage refers is not the irrational, non-thinking kind of faith to which Kierkegaard refers, to which, since the 18th century on, many Christians, so-called, mean a faith opposed to reason, abandoning sound doctrine for nonsense-animated feelings and passions, a leap into the absurd, supported by liberals and neo-orthodox and postmodernists and charismatics, and others as well. But rather a sound, solid, biblically correct, and informed faith, informed by the Holy Scriptures. Now, the charismatics, for example, teaching others to speak in tongues. They have a school, and they teach people to speak in tongues. How do they teach them? They instruct the students to abandon all thought and allow the sounds to flow from your mouth, from your vocals and from your mouth. And if you're having trouble with that, it's because you are thinking about the sounds. You're hearing and you're thinking about these sounds. Don't think. Let them continue to flow unimpeded by any thought whatsoever about what you're saying, about what the sounds mean. Nothing. Think nothing. Such nonsense produces gibberish in prayer and foolishness for truth. We read in Proverbs 3, verse 5, that we are to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. Here in Proverbs 3, the Hebrew word translated heart, it does not mean as such in this particular context the seat of emotions or feelings or appetites, but rather in this particular context and in many others, it means the inner man or the mind or the will, the understanding, the knowledge, thinking, reflection, memory, conscience. It means, in effect, soul. Soul. Clearly, this second listing it fits better with the parallelism. You know, trust in the Lord with your soul, with your mind, your entire mind, and lean not on your own understanding, your own mind. That's pretty much what's going on there. Trust the Lord with your whole heart, mind, and soul. Perhaps feelings as well, if they are informed by conscientious pondering of the Holy Word of God. Anselm, perhaps the greatest of all medieval Christian writers, his life straddled the 11th and 12th centuries. He defined theology as faith seeking understanding. Faith seeking understanding. Anselm said that. The entire message of the book of Proverbs is just that. Seek wisdom, get understanding. The very next chapter, chapter 4, verses 5 to 7, just glance at them. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the word of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. This is the theme throughout the book of Proverbs. Subject your fallen understanding to the revealed will of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. All of it, not simply part of it. Even the best part. Philip Johnson, a personal friend of MacArthur, John MacArthur, said that God is not asking to have first place in your heart. He must be our all. Genuine faith is not when you add Jesus to a list of things that interest you, True saving faith recognizes that He is the Lord of all. In Jeremiah 17, for example, verse 7, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose trust or hope the Lord is. The Lord is my trust. The Lord is my hope. The Lord is my love. The Lord Himself is my confidence. He's my all in all. It is He alone that is my first and my last, my Alpha and my Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and finisher of the faith, my hope, my trust. Jesus is my all and all. No ifs, no ands, and buts about it. In verse 5, if verse 5 speaks to our total trust, our absolute confidence in the Lord, which it does, verse 6 speaks to our complete obedience to Him. Thus, these verses sing out, trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The Hebrew batah, translated trust, means to be confident, to be bold, to be secure. Have confidence in the Lord, not yourself. Defined in this way, trust is to confide in someone and have a confidence in their care and in their ability to care for us. Trust results in having an assurance that we're secured and safe with the Lord by our side, with us. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what's going on in your life, God is right there with me. That's having confidence, trust in the Lord. Security. I'm safe. He wraps His arms around me. He's with me right now. He's supporting me. The idea behind this word has been summarized thusly. There are four things implied in what it means to trust with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. First is this. There is an awareness of troubles and dangers, right? I mean, who has to tell you? Anyone have to tell you that? There are troubles in life and dangers? That's life, a lot of people say. When things go wrong, that's life. Second, there is a recognition of our own inability to match up with these troubles and dangers. The source of the difficulty is greater than we are, right? We can't protect ourselves at all times from them. It's too hard for us. Before these things, we're helpless. The problem is greater than me. I can't control everything that happens. To me, I can't control it, no less than anyone else. And the third thing we observe about this idea of trust, we observe there's another outside of us who is strong, stronger and greater and wiser than the dangers and the difficulties that we face. And then the fourth thing that's implied is that there's a connection between that other and us, a connection that provides us with strength so that when we lean on that one, we are able to face these dangers, these difficulties, these obstacles, and so on. Because there's another on our side, stronger, and in control, and can help us, and will help us, promises to do so. Faith, trust, confidence, security, safety, it's all part of that. Trusting in God, leaning on Jesus, like I'm leaning on this pulpit right now, leaning on Jesus, I am able to stand firm, though I am weak. You know, I may feel a little shaky in my legs sometimes because I haven't had enough to eat, my sugar drops, you know, that kind of stuff. So hold on the pulpit. Sturdies me. To stand firm, though I'm weak, through another, through something else, I'm made strong. See, inclined though we, by nature, to any and every sin. Most capable and prone are we to sin. Now, don't say, well, that is impossible. I will never commit such a sin as so-and-so and such-and-such. Yes, you can. You are quite capable of committing any and every sin by nature. And when you get a little older, you may be limited, but still, quite capable of committing most sins. It's only by the grace of God, provided by the Spirit through His Word, that we can truly overcome our fallen nature and able to genuinely walk in the ways and along the paths of righteousness, godliness, and holiness. Christian, you are God's child, able to delight the heart of your Heavenly Father by paying heed to His wise fatherly advice and counsel. Trust in me. With everything, with your whole heart, soul, mind, and might, trust in me. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me. I will direct your path home. I'm taking you home. Don't worry. I'm taking you home. In my own understanding, I reason, I'm able, using my own strength, energy, intelligence, and gifts, to make my way in life, to choose wisely this or that. I'm smart enough to marry who I want, to live as I please, to know and appreciate my delights, to figure out my life. But here I'm told, consider your ways, as the prophet Haggai says, consider your ways. Turn over your life, every bit of it, to God in Jesus Christ. Make Him your all in all. This will not be easy. We're going to have to work on this for the rest of our days, for the rest of our life. Every single day, it's not going to be easy. At work, at play, in good days, in bed, when I'm rich, when I'm poor, in health and in sickness, in life until I depart. I'm going to have to trust in Him with all my heart. Further, I must say, it's more difficult to live under the counsel of the Lord when you're healthy, wealthy, and successful than when you are poor and needy. So prone are we, when healthy and wealthy, to become wise in our own eyes, as verse 7 says in Proverbs. Wise in your own eyes. You know, I've counseled a number of Christians, family, not my wife or media family, but I've counseled a number of Christians, brothers and sisters, sincere in the faith. And nevertheless, they become angry with and disappointed in me because I did not say what they wished to hear. Not only did they twist my words, but they twist, even worse, they twist God's word in order to fit their own pleasure. Have you ever done that? You know what the Word of God says. You know, someone said the Word of God. You know, explain the Word of God, but you don't buy it. You prefer something else. Suit your own self. I've had Christians get very angry with me. Trust in the Lord in some of your ways? No. Trust in the Lord in all your ways, and He will direct your path, securing you in the straight direction, homeward bound. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I change not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word remains faithful and true forever and ever. Lean on me, because you are not strong. I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, as the song goes. Yes, you may love yourself, but I, God, I love you more. And I love you better than anyone, including yourself, does. You are my child, my adopted golden son, my diamond daughter. Pray, talk to me. I will not answer with a stone nor a scorpion, but give you my spirit's word and wisdom. You will be given the best in both worlds. Trust me, learn of me, and see and behold how he answers your prayer. Talk to him. Do not define your life anymore based on circumstance. Do not make judgments according to your own understanding. Acknowledge me, my wisdom, my word, my work, and you will see as Isaiah the prophet. Must come to an end now, but I just want to read a couple of scriptures, this scripture to you, and then close. In Isaiah 40, verse 28, what I say just a moment ago, do not define your life based on circumstance. Do not make judgments according to your own understanding. Acknowledge me, my wisdom, my word, my works, and you will see. Isaiah 40, 28, 31, come to life. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Praise the Lord! That's for you! All of it! Be patient. Wait on him. Place your life, your soul, your heart in his hands, brothers and sisters. Trust him, who's forgiven you all your sin, who knows all your weaknesses, who's provided for you to this very day, every day. He, who promises to never leave, never forsake, be with you to the end. And when that end comes, it's going to be a new beginning. A wonderful beginning. Finally, Timothy Keller informs us that 10% of everything Jesus said is a quotation from the Old Testament. About 10% of his words were quotations from the Old Testament. When Peter pulls out his sword, Jesus says, "I know they're coming to kill me. Put down your sword." I can call 10,000 angels. But then, this is what Jesus said to Peter, the scriptures would not be fulfilled. On the cross, when dying, he quotes Psalm 22:1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When you cut Jesus Christ, says Keller, he literally bleeds scripture. Of course, that's how he trusted his Father. You trust Jesus, who immersed himself in the Word of God to save you, right? Now, trust Jesus by immersing yourself in the Word of God to honor him. Have him shape you more and more into his image. Mirror him in your life so that others may see that God is good. And may God add grace upon grace to you to fill your life. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we are thankful for your word. Again, we don't mind saying your word is truth. We love it, we desire it, and we desire more of it. Not only intellectually, but also just with our whole being, with everything we have. We want to know you better and be able to live according to your word, according to this great wisdom here offered, that we are to trust you with everything, with our whole heart. And we're not to just depend upon ourselves. We're not here alone to work things out by ourselves. But in every single way, in every single day, at work or at play, whatever, to acknowledge you, and you will direct our path homeward. In Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, Amen.